blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 201, stanzas 5, 6, and 7. The wicked, grown wealthy, have comfort and peace, while I, daily chastened, see troubles increase. And wronging God's children, I cried in my pain, that clean hands are worthless and pure hearts are vain. 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 201.
just to read from God's holy and precious word from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 18, beginning with verse 28 to the end. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, we again attempt to speak unto thee, and we are unworthy, and that we should be permitted to speak unto thee. For thou art holy, and we are unholy, so filled with all the sin that we have received in our corruption, in our father Adam, and that is so growing in us continually. O Lord, look thou upon us, in and through thy dear and only begotten Son, even in this thy holy Sabbath day, and when we have heard it out of the mouth of that heathen who did say, What is truth? Lord, he did not know what truth was. Oh, that poor, poor man. He had never heard of truth. But thou, the way and the truth and the life did stand before him, but he had never received it in his heart. Oh, thou didst say it unto him, as sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? And thou wilt ask us also in that great day of all the things that we have confessed in our life. Oh, sayest thou this now of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Lord, then it needs to be brought in our heart and with power by thy most Holy Spirit. And to whom else then can we go but unto thee, who hast the words of eternal life? Oh, thou hast the power to bring them in our heart and to make that confession to be our own. And when the only confession that we have is that of ourselves and our own honor and glory in the midst of this world, oh Lord, do teach us, do lead us into all thy truth, and that we might know what it is, not only in our minds, but that we may be born again. For thy kingdom is not of this world. If thy kingdom were of this world, then thy servants would fight in the midst of this world. But they do not fight in this world. They fight another battle. They do fight the battle against sin, against Satan, against this world. O Lord, that may also be in the midst of us, a battle in our hearts, a battle in our lives, that we might learn to fight that which is evil, and that we may in our heart hate that which is evil, even the children and the youth from the days of their youth, that they may seek thee, Lord. O plant the love of thee in their hearts while they are still so young, that they may see the vanity of this world and all that is perishing, and that they may see and feel, and that there is substance to be had, a treasure to be had, that with all their heart, might, and strength, and they may seek after thee, the true and the living God. Who else, O Lord, is able to give it to them and to give it unto us for the first time or by renewal? Oh, we beseech thee then that thy power may be felt and that it may be experienced in the midst of us. Remember each and every one in all the needs and the cares of this life, for they are often so many, that thou may remember those who do recover from surgeries. Thou knowest the place of each one. Wilt thou give healing as thou art that balm in Gilead and art able to heal the body, and thou art also able to heal the wounds of the soul. When thy spirit does give thy law to cut a man down and to show unto him his wretchedness, to show unto him his misery, to give him to know that he is a sinner in the sight of a holy and a righteous God, a man who is not able any more to bring forth that which is good and to take away the wrath that lieth upon him. Lord, thou who art that balm in Gilead, wilt thou heal a wounded souls? Could it be also in the midst of us, that there also may be many, while the world and we all together go on to our great and long home, and that we could not live any more in the midst of this world in the way that we have been born, but that thou may show to us our wretched state, that thou may show to us and that we have a soul created for eternity, that we are without God, that we are without hope in the midst of this world, that our guilt that will sink us lower than Tophet. Lord, that there may be a need and a desire that thy dear Son may come with his healing, and that he may heal the wounds of the soul, and that he may make a man rejoice in him. Lord, wilt thou take reasons out of thyself? Remember all those that do bring thy word. We have been together as a classes. Thou knowest thy servant who has applied for emeritus status and soon will become an emeritus minister. Lord, thou knowest all of his needs. Wilt thou care for him? And wilt thou bless him? And wilt thou give him what he stands in need of? Could it be yet to extend a little time that he may bring thy word in the midst of that congregation and the other congregations in our denomination? But wilt thou give also these needs to be bound upon our hearts for our children, our young, the generations to come are growing in the midst of us. And there is much weakness on the side of thy servants, and old age does creep upon many. And Lord, thou knowest then the great need that does lie in the midst of the world and in the midst of our own denomination. We beseech thee then that thou would give a true conversion, Lord, unto men whom thou wilt call and qualify for the holy ministry, to thrust them forth into the midst of thy church, that there may be yet in the future those that may go forth to bring thy holy word and to preach the everlasting gospel unto a sinful people, that thy kingdom may come, and that thy will may be done, and that that spiritual kingdom may grow also amongst us, and that there may be many and that have yet to be brought in for the harvest that is white and ready, ready for the harvesting. And then thou wilt come upon the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, that we may be given with our children to realize the time in which we are, that we may be given to forsake the world and every former friend, and that we may be given to seek with all our heart and with all our might and all our strength that which is so necessary for the need of our souls between the cradle and the grave. Lord, pour out thy love upon us that we might feel it, that it may enter into our hearts, that we may be drawn by thee away from all that sin and iniquity that will bring us into everlasting perdition, that we may see the beauty of holiness, and that we may desire, and that we may receive that blessed robe of righteousness to cover us in the sight of a holy God, that we may also be reconciled, and that we may be brought into the blessed communion with thee. Thou hast sent thy dear and only begotten Son into this world, and we may commemorate in these weeks thy passion, as awful as it was, and yet as precious as it is, unto those who cannot pay for their own iniquity that great debt that lieth upon them. O Lord, that thou may give eyes to see by a true and a living faith, that there may be hope in the midst of the congregation, hope in thee and in thy own dear and only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased. Help thou us, O Lord, as a consistory, to do all the labors of our hands, and the visits in the midst of the congregation, and do strengthen us for our work. Give us thy grace in a rich measure, and that we may be enabled to speak in the midst of the congregation, and that thou may give a blessed bowing under thee and thy holy law, and especially at the foot of thy blessed cross. Lord, wilt thou look on all thy dear children, and wherever they may be in the condition of that life, and that thou hast given unto them. For thou knowest each and every one in the place where they are. Oh, that thou mayst supply for all their needs. And wilt thou reveal thyself for the first or by renewal. Oh, that they may be given to taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, that thou give hungering and a thirsting after righteousness, and that thou mayest fill them with thyself. Help us in this afternoon, and wilt thou give us freedom, Lord, and liberty. Give us opening, and give us thy Holy Spirit. Give us clarity, and give us in the midst of our congregation, that there may be an understanding for the mind, and that there may be an entrance into the heart, an opening of the heart, and that there may be an attending to the things that are spoken, that there may be profit this day for our souls, and that we may be given together to say that it was good to be here, for the Lord was in our midst, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 145 all the stanzas. O mighty man, why wilt thou boast thyself in hateful cruelty, even God Almighty is most kind, and ever merciful is He. 145, all the stanzas. Thank you. Beloved congregation, Bunyan, at the end of his classic work, The Pilgrim's Progress, wrote, "So I awoke, and behold, it was a dream." We often sing together, death, with swift and sudden warning, calls us from life's dream away. What was the last thing that Bunyan had written before the end? He wrote, "Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of bliss, from the gates of heaven, as well as from the city of destruction. How that will be evident when we awake from our dream. When we awake from the dream of this life, then it is going to become very evident to us, more plain than we have ever seen it before in our life, that we have dwelt at the gate of heaven. That we have dwelt, that we have lived at the door of heaven. And when that door was preached unto us, I am the door." Read the Apostle Paul preach one time unto King Agrippa. And then he said to him, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But it did not happen. And then the opportunity passed. We read the Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh, if thou hadst only known in this thy day the things that belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Oh, the Lord, give us to know the things that belong unto our peace before our dream ends, before we awake from the dream of this life. Our text can be found in the aforeread chapter, John 18, the 28th verse. John 18, verse 28. "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." So far the words of our text. Refusal to enter into the judgment hall. First, the reason for this refusal. Second, the hypocrisy of this refusal. And third, the paradox in this refusal. The refusal to enter into the judgment hall. First, the reason for it. Second, the hypocrisy of it. And third, the paradox in it. "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early." Thus they were without sleep in that night that has gone by. Satan has kept them awake. But Jesus was also without rest. He did that for his people. Are we sometimes without rest? Or can we always rest? How is that? Young people, children, parents, sometimes you are without sleep because of your children. Are you ever without sleep because of the need of your soul? Are you ever without sleep because of the need of the souls of your children? We read here that Jesus is led. He is led into the judgment hall that was a very great humiliation for these Jews, to lead Jesus into that judgment hall, because it was a reminder for them that they were not free, that they were subjects, that the enemy ruled over them, and that they were not able to make a judgment themselves, nor to put such a man as they deemed worthy to death. But they were willing to be humiliated before these Gentiles. As long as they could keep their status among the Jewish people. And that was threatened. That was threatened by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The chief priests and the elders had no concern for the true welfare of that Jewish nation. They had a concern for themselves. They had a concern for their position. It was pure wickedness, if there is ever such a thing as pure wickedness, within that church of God. Then led they Jesus unto the hall of judgment, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. Thus, what does that mean? Where does that come from? That they would be defiled if they went into the judgment hall? Well, that seems to be an inference, a conclusion that they have come to on their own. Thus, putting other laws together, and then they have reasoned, and they have come up with this law. God's word, his precepts indeed speak about defilement. What is defilement? That is corruption, to be unclean, to be impure. What do we think about that? Do we feel something of that? Does that concern us? To be impure, to be corrupt? God is holy, and we have been created holy. And we have corrupted ourselves, then we have sinned against him. And the Lord has sent us out of his communion, out of the garden, because God is holy and God cannot dwell with unholiness. And now in the Old Testament, we read that the Lord has given unto his Old Testament church certain precepts, certain statutes that had to do with uncleanness, with defilement. Thus, children, they were not allowed to eat, for example, some of those kinds of animals that would creep on the ground. That was forbidden for them to eat, or something that was torn by a wild beast, or something that died of itself and was not killed actually by them. Those things they were not allowed to eat. A high priest was not allowed to go in unto a dead body, lest, we read, he should be defiled. Well, you say, do those things actually defile a person? Well, they do not. They were actually precepts of the Lord that were a picture. They were a sort of symbol that the Lord is drawing the attention of his people to defilement. So there were other things that did and do still actually defile a man. The Lord says them in his word, and the Lord speaks in his word about lying carnally with our neighbor's wife, or even with a beast. Worshipping of idols, they are things which defile. They are things which pollute. What do they pollute? What do they defile? They defile the conscience of a man. Sexual sins are especially those sins that defile. They are especially those sins which are polluting. And we read about idolatry. And those kinds of sins were especially connected with the heathen worshiping of idols. Thus the devil, in his false worship, he is always busy. He is polluting. He is defiling. He is still busy, young people. Oh, we know that his entertainments in this world, the movies of this world that are so much available to you now, and we say to father and mother, oh, do you help to put a gate, a fence around your children that they are not able to do these things, but Satan is so busy to break those fences down? Oh, do you have in your own heart a desire for purity? Oh, do you ever feel something of the pollution, of the defilement that there is in all that entertainment of the world that is defiling your soul, that is defiling your conscience? Do you ever feel something of that? That you say, oh, I cannot cleanse myself from this defilement. I had a young man many years ago in my study. He came to me. And he was so upset. He said, there are things that I have seen with my eyes that I can no longer get out of my mind. Images that he had to live with. Oh, young people, be careful of that defilement. Oh, desire to be holy. Desire to be pure, even as God is pure, and as God is holy, and as he has given precepts in his word and warnings concerning that uncleanness. There were other things that did actually defile not merely, we would say, the conscience, but also physically. When we think about the contagious diseases of that time, leprosy, then there was defilement in these things. But our text speaks about defilement by going into the judgment hall. Where do we read that? Well, we do not read that. That seems to be connected actually more than to the judgment hall itself, more than to the building. That seems to be connected more to the persons that were in that building, thus that they would be there with the Gentiles. Because we read that elsewhere, that Peter was accused that he had gone in to eat with those that were uncircumcised. So is that evil? Is that wrong that Peter has gone in to eat with the Gentiles? That is a good question. Because there is a certain validity to that in a practical way not only, but also according to the Word of God. And why? That is because of influence. An influence that is a very real thing. We read in the beginning of the Bible that when men began to multiply on the earth, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took wives of them of all which they chose. Thus they chose wives, young men. They chose wives. They chose wives from the world. That is, from those who served the world. And now the Lord has forbidden that. And why has the Lord forbidden that? Well, you see what happened. Because of influence. And then those wives have influenced those sons of God. And the sons of God, they think, well, I will influence my wife. But the wives have influenced the sons of God. And then it did not take long before the Lord had to look over that whole earth, all the world, and to say, it grieves me that I have made man on the earth. And then he had to destroy the whole world with a flood. What do you think, young people? You say, maybe I'm strong. I'm strong. And I will not be influenced, but I will influence. Oh, be very careful. And not only with who your friends are, but especially who your greatest friend will be in this world, who will be your husband, who will be your wife, because dating is not mission work. You do not date someone in order to bring them under the truth. That is what we hear sometimes. No, it happens sometimes. We do not deny that. But that is not what dating is about. No, the Lord says that we must choose those who have that same conviction, the conviction concerning the truth. Thus, there is something to be said for this practice of the Jews, that they would, as it were, avoid the contact with the heathen, with the Gentiles. But that has now developed into something that was completely unbiblical. Now, what is that? Oh, that is so natural to us. Maybe we do that too. When we are in the church, and then we go outside and we look at everybody that is in the world, and then we have this secret thought. And what is that secret thought? That I am just a little bit better. I am just a little bit better than all those sinners. And that is now the part that is so very unbiblical. Why is it that we are influenced by the ungodly? Why is that? Do you know why that is? That is because ungodliness lives in our heart. That is because every sin that is against that holy law of God that is living in our heart. If it were not living in our heart, we would not have to worry about being influenced by anyone else. The Lord Jesus had no sin in his heart, and he did not need to fear that he would be influenced in his heart by the sins of others. Thus, these Jews, they were not forbidden to go into this judgment hall, not by the Lord. Oh, that was their own inference. That was the pride that was living in their heart. That is the reason for their refusal to enter. But now we see in our second thought the hypocrisy of this refusal. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Oh, how careful. How careful that these men were. we would say, those are now men that have a very, very tender conscience. They are men that do not dare to do the least sin. They are men that obviously want in a righteous, in a holy way, they want to partake of that Passover, the ordinance of the Lord. And thus, we must have a great respect for such men. Do you have respect for persons, congregation, who have a tender conscience? We ought to. We ought to. Or if we only all had a much more tender conscience than we do have. But that was not so with these men. No, it was just the opposite with these men, because that tenderness that they show, that is nothing but a mere pretense. There is the most wicked heart living within them. And the most wicked devices, they are conceived in their minds and they are practiced by the hands of these men. What are they doing? Oh, they are doing an evil work, a most evil work. They are bringing a man who is innocent and whom they know is so innocent, they are bringing him into this hall of judgment. They are bringing that man there with false accusations. They know themselves that they have sought false witnesses to condemn this man to death. Thus, their refusal to enter into that judgment hall, that is a complete mockery. It is a mockery of God. As if they could be more defiled than they were. As if there was anything that was able to defile them more than that defilement that was living, that was dwelling, that was burning within their hearts. The Lord Jesus said of such, "Ye blind guides, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel." Thus these men, they are afraid to touch. They are afraid to come near unto a heathen man. They are afraid to have a conversation, lest they should be defiled. But there is murder. There is murder that lives and that boils within their heart. And there is pride. There is false witness. There is lies. There are every kind of sin that are living and burning within them. Oh, they are scrupulous. Yes, scrupulous about so many things. Oh, and they are very, very careful about the traditions that they have conceived in their minds. But to transgress against that holy law of God, oh, there is nothing in their heart, and that is hindering them from doing so. Paul says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto those who are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Nothing. But even their minds and their consciences, they are defiled. Oh, these do not keep that feast, like Paul says, in sincerity. They do not keep that feast, like Paul says, in truth. No, they keep it in malice. They keep it in wickedness. They are cruel. They are bloody persecutors. And they are persecutors that have religious scruples on the outside. No, it is not that defilement that defiles. It is sin. It is sin that defiles. It is transgression against the commandments of the Lord, the holy law of the Lord. Thou shalt not kill, chief priests and elders. Thou shalt not bear false witness, chief priests and elders. But it does not
concern them, O congregation, how is it with us? What is now lying under our Sunday garb? What is now lying under our pretense? Maybe even during the week, in the midst of this world, when we walk maybe as a holy person, a member of the NRC, oh, we do not say that is bad. No, oh, could it be that we could recognize that man and that woman, oh, that they were a member, young people, oh, could it be that we could see with our eyes, there is a young person, she is not a person of this world. He is not a person that serves this world. When we look at their dress, how they are clothed, when we hear their conversation, when we see their acts, oh, could it only be that we could see that there is a person that does belong unto the church of God. But congregation, there is another side to this. There is another side to that. Because sometimes there are young people and they see others and they know things. They know things about how they live. They know what they do in secret. They know the things that they say. And then they see them. And they see them walking in a way of the show of piety. A show of piety. And then they have knowledge of the things that are going on behind the scenes. And sometimes some of the worst things, some of the most defiling sins, the sins of adultery, the sins of fornication, the sins of abuse, the sins even of incest, all these awful things. And then to see that such a person, all then they have in the midst of this world a certain respect, all that is a person who has a tender conscience because they are so careful about the tradition. Oh, congregation, then you understand there is such a conflict in the minds of such a young person. Those are things they cannot put together. They are things that do so much damage to a young person as they are going through the midst of this world. And it is nothing but wickedness. It is nothing but hypocrisy. Just now, like these chief priests and elders who will not go into the judgment hall lest they be defiled in order that they might eat the Passover. And do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, woe unto you. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the others undone. Woe, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you may clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Woe. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you are like whited sepulchres. You appear beautiful on the outside, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Oh, what is the purpose? What is now the purpose of the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord, because I am full of the fat of fed beasts and of lambs. Your new moons and your Sabbaths and your appointed feast days, my soul hateth. Hateth. That is the word of the Lord. And why did he hate it? Say that was his own institution. Because of the corruption. Because of the uncleanness. He says, it is a weariness. I cannot bear it. The religion that is only outward and that is nothing but a cover for the most defiling of iniquities. Let us sing. 138, 1, 2, and 3. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane and cast them from you in disdain. 1, 2, and 3 of 138.
Thank you.
refusal to enter into the judgment hall, first, the reason for it. Second, the hypocrisy of it. And now the paradox in it. So a paradox. What is a paradox? That is something that seems to be contradictory. So what is it here? And that seems to be so contradictory. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So, boys and girls, what did they eat in the Passover? Say, well, they ate a lamb. That is right. And a lamb that pointed to who? You say it pointed to the Lord Jesus. That is right. The Lord Jesus ate the Passover too. That was in that day before. Here it speaks about eating the Passover. You say, why do they still have to eat the Passover? There are different thoughts about that. Probably the word Passover is being used for that whole week and during that feast of unleavened bread, that they may be holy for the eating of that feast. But now Christ himself is ready to be slain as the antitype. The true Lamb of God that taketh away and that sin of the world. And who is going to slay him? The chief priests and the elders. They are ready here to slay that Passover lamb for the sake of that true church. But they are not going to eat of that lamb. Is that not a great paradox? They are instruments. They're instruments in the hand of God to slay the Passover lamb for his church. And at the same time, they are instruments in the hand of the devil. The devil is instigating. The devil is tempting. The devil is prodding. The devil is leading them on. But it is all directed by the hand of God himself. The disciples are fled. They are afraid. They do not understand. It is all to them such a mystery, but it is all in control of Christ and of his Father and of the Holy Spirit and everything for the salvation of his own church. And now how close were those chief priests and those elders unto that kingdom of God, and yet how far away. Is that not a paradox? They sought a ceremonial cleanliness, but they despised the cleanliness of their hearts. They sought a carnal Passover. They despise the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, they sought to maintain a position in the visible church, but they neglected to obtain a position in that invisible church. So very, very close. And yet so very, very far away. Physically close. Spiritually far away. Close to all the ceremonies. So far away from the substance that those ceremonies represented.
close to the doctrine of their fathers, far away from the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, close to the judgment hall, so far away from self-condemnation, and so close to the cross, and so far away from bowing at the foot of that cross. But we cannot remain with them. We have to come to ourselves. How is it with us? We are also close. So very, very close. But are we also at the same time so very far away? The weeks of passion. Oh, then we hear it. Christ brought into that judgment. We hear that sentence pronounced. We hear that punishment is carried out in the life of that Son of God. So close. So very, very close. Hearing, listening, singing, praying. But how far? How far are we from it in our heart? How far are we from receiving now that substance? Because those outward ceremonies, they bring us very, very close. Intellectually, physically, but those ceremonies that cannot bring us close in a spiritual way. What is it? What is it that draws a man close in his soul that is in need? That is in need. Do you have a need? We have many needs. Do you know what brings a man close? Unforgiven guilt. Do you know what brings a man close? Godly sorrow. Do you know what brings a man close? Felt corruption in his soul. It draws him. It draws him. Close unto him. Oh, the passion of Christ. What is that? That is a solution. A solution for a soul that has no solution. No solution for his wretchedness. No solution for his sin. No solution for his misery, for his guilt. Without God, without hope in the midst of this world. Where does their defilement come from? Not from without. Not from without. Oh, then they say, nothing from without will defile me. All that defilement that is living in my heart. Every sin, every iniquity that dwells there. And now those ceremonies, all those ceremonies cannot do it for that people. They are so precious to them. That house of God. But those things in themselves, they cannot take away the burden. They cannot take away the guilt. They cannot cleanse the conscience. They cannot reconcile their soul as they desire unto that true and that living God. Oh, they feel it. So close. So very, very close in the house of God, under the preaching, being able to read that word of God, and yet missing the blessing, missing the power. Chief priests and elders wanted to remain outside of that judgment hall, lest that they be defiled. But now that defiled people, do you know what they say? Oh Lord, bring me now on the inside of that. Oh, that I might see the mystery there, that I might see the wonder there, that I may see the paradox. Oh, if the Lord may bring that people once into that judgment hall, oh, that they might see once with an eye of faith that man, that divine man, that Son of God standing there in that judgment. Oh, if they could hear once, if they could hear the proclamation, I find no fault, no fault in this man. Oh, if I could hear it once, they say. Lord, could thou bring me into that? Could I behold it once? That innocent Son of Man condemned by the judge, condemned by God Himself, the sentence of the Father. Oh, could I only enter a little into that paradox, into that blessed mystery. They want to be brought closer than what is physical, closer than what is natural, closer than what is intellectual, closer, that I might see, that I might hear, that I might taste, that I might feel, that I may believe. Jesus, brought into that judgment hall, no scruples. Though he was the holiest man in the whole world, none so holy, none so perfect as he, but no scruples like those Pharisees and scribes. He was condemned already in the hall of Caiaphas. He was condemned by the Jews. He was condemned for the Jews. And now he is led into the hall of Pilate to be condemned by the Gentiles and to be condemned for the Gentiles. To be condemned for you too. Oh, how they defiled him. They spit on him. Spit on him, that holy and that tender man and Son of God. And they buffeted him, and they put on him a crown of thorns, and they mocked him, but they could not defile his soul, his perfect soul, his innocent soul. Oh, they did the same thing to Joseph. He was a type of him. They sold him. Sold him into the land of Egypt. But then later, oh, they came. They came in their guilt. They came with their sin. Did you ever do that? Because Joseph was just a type. And now we speak about the anti-type. They came with their sin, with their betrayal. They bowed. They confessed. And and they besought. And then what did he say? Oh, Joseph, fear not, he says. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Oh, is he not so good? Unto sinners, even unto those who come in their confessions with a repentance to his blessed footstool. Oh, so good to all that come unto God by him, so ready to forgive and so full of compassion to all those who call upon him. So close, congregation, so close, so very, very close we are. And we're going to see that one day when we wake up from our dream, the dream of this life, and we're going to see how close we were unto the gates of heaven. Oh, will we then see that we have traveled on that way he speaks about? I saw a way even from the gates of heaven unto hell. Unto hell. Congregation, the Lord give to us to see the things, to know the things that belong unto our peace. Before that we awake from our dream. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but they are thy word. O bring it in our hearts, for we are so close unto the gate of heaven. Lord, bring us in. Oh, remember us with our dear children, that we do not perish in the way, and wilt thou show us our sin. And when thy dear Son is preached in his cross, in his suffering, in his payment, give us true saving faith, that we may be brought in unto that spiritual kingdom of God. Be with us when we go from this place. Give thought, give meditation, give seriousness, give concern for our souls on our journey to meet thee. Help us in this week with our work. Keep each one from a sudden and an unprepared death. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. 164, 1, 2, and 3, and if necessary, the fourth. 1, 2, and 3 of 164, Thou art my God. O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste in which no waters be. 164, 1, 2, and 3.
Receive ye the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.